The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, May 11th, 2015. Hola, Bardophiles, and welcome to the 50th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Chronicle Herald ran a story on Shakespeare by the Sea still being homeless 1 year after a fire destroyed their indoor performance and rehearsal space. The show goes on, however, with the summer season that includes A Midsummer Night's Dream and Antony and Cleopatra at Point Pleasant Park in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Broadway World ran a story on the Shakespeare Society announcement that they will honor Helen Mirren and Lily Rabe next month at their Playing Shakespeare celebration in New York City. Live Science ran a fascinating story on how the meaning of a single line at the beginning of Act 3 of Love's Labour's Lost led to research that uncovered a song that was to be sung on stage, a bawdy French song popular in Shakespeare's day. Note, Live Science did not cite their source, which actually came from a Shakespeare Quarterly article by Ross Duffin. You can find a cited discussion at the project. Stuff website ran a piece on Ugly Shakespeare Company, celebrating their 20th year of traveling and entertaining high school students in New Zealand. Think Monty Python meets the Bard. The Guardian ran a piece on how live broadcasts are changing theater. While they are bringing shows to audiences who couldn't see them, they also seem to be having a detrimental effect on those same entities' touring companies. In other words, great for me in California, but for the folks in Dublin, Ireland, not so much. The Metro ran a story on Matt LeBlanc saying in a Radio Times interview that the themes of his television show Friends go as far back as, I don't know, Shakespeare. His words, not mine. Since the interview is in support of a new season of his sitcom Episodes, I can't help but wonder if this was Matt LeBlanc who said this or Episodes' version of Matt LeBlanc. The Augusta Free Press covered the awarding of an NEA Arts Work grant to American Shakespeare Center. Congrats goes out to them. Bay City News ran a story on the upcoming performance of Julius Caesar in Macbeth by inmates of San Quentin Prison in Northern California. Backstage ran an interview with author Stanley Wells, ranging in subjects from his new book, Great Shakespearean Actors, Burbage to Branna, to How Shakespeare Can Make You a Better Actor. The North Shore News ran a story previewing the all-female production of Julius Caesar, retitled J. Caesar, in Vancouver, Canada. This 7-actor play has been cut down to a lean and mean hour, and it is paired with a saucy musical, Miss Shakespeare, which imagines Willie's daughter Judith as an artist herself. The Financial Times reviewed The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare's Globe, running through June the 7th in London, saying that in denying Shylock's moral ambivalence, this production ceases to be the play that Shakespeare wrote. DC Theater Scene reviewed Taffety Punk's version of Hamlet, giving it a rave. This version, using the bad quarto, and if you've been reading the blog, you know what that means, is a re-exploration of their version from the bootleg series at the Folger Library, one that had a mere 24 hours of rehearsal time. This ongoing production runs at the Capitol Hills Theater Workshop in Washington, D.C. through May 23rd, and turns this time-honored tragedy into an emotional roller coaster of immediacy. The Seattle Times reviewed Othello by Seattle Shakespeare Company, saying that the production playing through the weekend at Cornish Playhouse is distilled and potent and a high point for the company. The Mancunian Matters reviewed King Lear by North Broadsides, which just finished its run at the Lowry Theatre in Manchester, England. The production, called poignant and potent by the reviewer, will move to the York International Shakespeare Festival before touring the company until mid-June. And finally, Naus reviewed the opening of that York International Shakespeare Festival with a performance of Two Shakespearean Heroines by famed kabuki actress Aki Isoda. She performed two Japanese takes on the Shakespeare characters Lady Macbeth and Ophelia from Hamlet, and it was called a fantastic way to open the festival. let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. May the 5th is Cinco de Mayo. No Shakespeare connection, but Falstaff would have loved it. On May 6th, 1915, Orson Welles was born. Star and director of Citizen Kane, he was also quite the Shakespearean actor and director in such films as Macbeth, Othello, and Chimes at Midnight, his Falstaff epic. He also directed influential stage productions such as his Voodoo Macbeth with the African-American actors for the Federal Theater Project in 1936, and his 1937 Julius Caesar, which, with its modern dress, called to mind fascist Italy. On May 7th, 1993, Kenneth Branagh's film of Much Ado About Nothing was released in the U.S. to mostly positive reviews. On May the 8th, 1450, Jack Cade's rebellion against Henry VI began, according to some historians. This incident is depicted in Henry VI, Part 2. On May the 9th, 1594, Shakespeare's narrative poem, The Rape of Lucrece, was entered into the Stationer's Register. It would be published later that year. On May the 10th, 1952, Orson Welles' film of Othello was released in France at the Cannes Film Festival, where it won the Palme d'Or Prize. While successful in Europe, it would not gain U.S. release for another 3 years. May 11th, 1611 was the date of the earliest known performance of The Winter's Tale at the Globe. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending May 11th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.